Well, we'll begin. We can start the recording. And welcome. This is our last session of five sessions on St. Francis. And the ins and out, in and out of the village this week, I think it's been more than normal. Is there anyone here that's been to all? This is, will have perfect attendance? Two, isn't that something?
Three.
Oh, there's three. Oh, three. Three have perfect attendance. So that's, so today we're going to have the, share the last part of Francis' life. And before we begin, we're going to read together Francis' beautiful, called the Canticle of Brother Son, which is the exact prayer as translated into English that the All Creatures of Our God and King hymn is based on. And so I'm going to weave that into our sharing today. So, and I need seven volunteers to each read one verse of this song. So this is verse 7, verse 6, verse 5, verse 4, and then 3, and 1. Okay, and that'll be further in, so just be ready. We're starting. We left off yesterday with the ending of the fifth crusade, and it wasn't my favorite class because it is so sad and so tragic. This misguided attempt by war, win the Holy Land back to the Christians. And it was became so deeply fanatic about this war that the leader Pelagius, the captain of the Christian armies, or the general of the Christian armies, refused to make peace, even after the Sultan and the Muslim armies had offered peace agreements several times. And then we closed with talking about Francis' new way of relating to Muslims that really caused a conversion in Francis' mind when he met the Sultan, the leader of the Muslim armies, and met a person of deep, deep faith in the one true God. And we left off then with Francis's new idea of Christians relating to Muslims. And that someone asked me how far this got, and this was so close to Francis, which we'll talk about today, his last days and his sickness, that I'm not sure. I'd have to read some more to find out how it came out. But the book that goes through this in much more detail is called Francis in Islam. So if anybody wants to look at it afterwards. Okay. Then, are there any left over from yesterday about questions about the connection of Christians and Muslims that Francis was converted to, really? Yeah.
I have a co-worker who teaches with me who's a devout Muslim. She doesn't wear the headgear, but it seems to be a very law-centered religion. Mm-hmm. She needs to go on a Hajj. She needs to anoint a dead body. There are lots of requirements. Mm-hmm. How does that work with free grace and all that?
Oh, yeah, they're, you know, in the, you know, I'm an infant when it comes to really studying Islam, but you find grace passages in the Quran too, and I think it'd be somewhat similar in Christianity through the years, and it's been tendency always is law-centered, and if you want to find a graceful, happy Muslim, you look for the Sufis. Is that? Yeah, that's the word I want, the Sufis. And we have one in Seattle that loves to go and talk in Christian churches, and this is the most grace-filled, rejoicing, dancing man. And there is some, there are some theories that the Sultan was a Sufi Muslim at that time. Anybody else?
So a Sufi, is that just a part, a branch of Muslims? Or
Sufi.
Sufi.
Oh, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, it's a group within Islam.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know that much about them other than they tend to dance all the time.
Okay.
If you want a short. Does anybody know more than I do about the Sufi?
Well, it's just like the what we call denominations in the Protestant church. You got the Sufis who honor somebody who was the son of somebody, and the other bunch who honor the son of somebody else who had a big fight and they split. And just the denomination.
Yeah.
My sense is that Sufi is more mystical.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're less oriented towards the legal code, obedience to the legal code, and more oriented toward a static oneness with God. And part I was mentioning the other day about being in Senegal in West Africa, and it's a 95% Muslim country, but it's mostly Sufi, and it's very sort of mystical oriented, and so it contributes, I think it contributes, and friends of mine think it contributes to a different possibility of cooperation between the Christian minority and the Muslim majority because of the style of their practice.
Yeah.
So that would go along with the dancing as a means of spiritual elevation or ecstasy.
I read a novel about the life of Francis. It was a delight. And number one, I couldn't find it before I left for Holden. And number two, I forgot the title. But it does, it talks a lot about the Sufis in there, especially when Francis went to Spain. And really, in the novel, which might be based on some fact, he really connected with the Sufis.
It's the when we visited Turkey, it's the Sufi bunch that the whirling dervishes are part of it, which fits with your dancing, which is mystical, which transports them into a trance.
And
that's the whirling dervishes are part of it.
Yeah. So, well, let's moving on in our story, unless if there's any other, we'll move on in our story that now Francis. Is given passage now to the holy sites, and because of his permission really to do this, he and his connection to the Muslims, that the Franciscan monks were given the honor guarding wouldn't be the right word because it certainly wasn't military, but to be the keepers of the holy sites. So if you go, if you're in Israel, Palestine, you'll always find Franciscans at the most tourist sites. That's gone on for 800 years. So that's, so, but now, so Francis now is in Syria, and he meets one of the monks, and he, let's see, his name is Stefan, Brother Stefan, and he tells Francis that the order of Franciscans in Italy and in the other parts of Europe is in total disarray, which really means so many of Francis' hopes now for his brotherhood are being dashed. And the quote from Brother Stefan was, "Order, the order of Franciscans," he really just said, "the order is in disarray. Come back and save your work." So then Francis then takes a boat back to Italy and walks to Assisi, and he finds the order of brothers in dispute, in dissension, diversity of aims. Many are saying the order is too strict and too hard, calling for changes, and the changes so many of them want is lighter discipline, buildings, a house of study, and which would include having books, and then protection from the curia, or protection by the armies when they go out preaching. And to Francis, this it'd be like a dear pastor that's built up a congregation around gracious, loving, giving, forgiving, and not. And then to have it go away and then come back and it's all changed. This would have been very disheartening. The early friars now are revolting because they want it the way it began, in total simplicity, without big buildings and building places and having libraries and having scholars with all their books and having lighter discipline and favors from the authorities. So they are revolting, and it's very complicated. And the Franciscan order now is so numerous in the church that it's the connection between the Vatican and the Franciscans is, I forgot that, but Hugelin is named the corrector, and then Peter Catania is appointed the vicar of the Franciscan order, which basically is to say Francis is out as a leader of the Franciscan order. And then the new vicar, Cantania, dies, and then he is succeeded by Elias. Do you remember my talking about Elias was a powerful leader in the Franciscans, but he was also later called the least Franciscan of all the Franciscans. And he was a man of power, a man of control. He was a man who was ambitious, and a man who was very, very charming and worked political things very well. And now there's a turmoil in the order as the ones that want to follow Elias as something with something new and less stringent are in alienation with the original brothers that first followed Francis and shared his dream. So the turmoil continues, and now Elias has the power, But he asked Francis to write a new order, and then to write a new order that will be more, I guess we'd say, relevant, or something like that. And then there comes a conflict over the issue of learning. Part of the early Franciscan dream is that we won't go to universities and schools because education is, again, something to grasp, build up your power in the world. And because of this change, well, Francis gives in, and then because of this change is a rise of some of the great Franciscan scholars. So, now, the rule of that Francis is working on, a new rule, is very close to the original. He writes in there his dream that basically the order will remain as it was originally. And he gives it to Elias. And have you ever lost anything at home and you just couldn't find it? Well, Elias said he lost it.
The dog ate my homework.
What's that?
The dog ate my homework.
The dog ate my homework. So then in 1223 now, a new rule is approved by the order and then approved by the Pope. And what was lost in this new order was, first of all, it was shorter, less biblical. There were 10 verses from Scripture now instead of 100 in the original. It was one-third in length, and it lost many of the deep prayers and the heart of the Franciscan order. It brought in social elevation, you know, a stair step of authority, and who is more important than others, which was well, the marks of that were one was that the monks need no longer be truly poor, just very poor. They now may have books. Francis was against from the very beginning because the accumulation of books is part of authority and hierarchy. And then lenient on poverty, I think, as I just mentioned, and then brought in some of the advantages that other orders had, which one of them would be more protection from the Vatican. No longer was the Franciscan order to be under bishops. And from to this point, as I understand, the order was under sympathetic bishops. And now it's under the direct order of the Pope. And then this is this probably might have been one of the hardest for Francis, the abandonment of manual labor. And this was from the very, very beginning, you know, we don't take pay for anything, but we work manual labor for the food we eat. And it really was, there were more and more Franciscans that wanted to just study their books and become intellectuals. So what was positive that Cardinal Hugoulin didn't crush the zealots? Francis and his original followers are called the zealots. And he saved very, very much of the Franciscan spirit. That you would know from meeting Franciscans today that are very close to the spirit of Francis. And then the most positive thing about it was Elias was removed from office. He gets degraded. As long as he set up a hierarchical system, let's just degrade him. So how's this sound?
Was this under more than one pope?
Yeah, there. I think during the whole this part of the Franciscan era, there were two popes, and I'd have to look them up, their names up again.
When Elias becomes the leader, is Francis still alive at that point?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and then it was, as I understand it, shortly after Francis was no longer had leadership. And so, how did Francis respond to this? The loss of the order, it became his greatest suffering. This is what he had lived for. This is what he had founded. This is where the first visionaries had written the rule of the order. And the loss of the order sometimes is called Francis' great temptation, because he went into despair. He felt abandoned by God. He had what so many of the saints experienced, and that's called the dark night of the soul, which probably many of us have had. We just have different names, like depression, you know, would be very similar, the dark night of the soul. And then he withdrew. He withdrew to a mountain. I'm trying to stay on the present tense. I like that better, but I keep slipping. Francis withdraws to a mountain with a few of his friends, the original followers. And then Francis hears a voice. And the voice says, on this mountain where now the brothers really leave him alone so he can be all by himself in prayer. And this is a voice he heard. Is not your order my order? The voice of God. Is it not I who am its chief shepherd? And then the word, the voice says, if you have faith to remove mountains, your mountain is your temptation. And then from this, Francis reached peace and says and prays this, let it be done to me according to your word. Now, in response to this weakness now and disappointment and despair, he has reached peace, but now how do you act? How does he act out that despair? Well, Christmas is approaching, and this is in the village of Guccio, which I'm sure will be on the tourist trail if you take the Francis tour. Here, Francis realized Christmas Day is coming, and he's with his brothers. They're traveling, and they stop in Greccio. And Francis has this idea. And if we go all the way back to Francis' early life, he was a actor, he was a stage setter, and he was original. And never having happened before, Francis says, Let's have a living manger scene. And this is the invention now of the creche that is now so popular all over the world, including manger scenes. So finds a cave above the town. The people of the town joyfully work to get this ready, to provide where people will sit for the creche, and someone builds the creche. They bring animals to the creche, and there's straw in the creche. And then one of the Franciscans, who is a priest, presides at the Eucharist over the creche. And Francis preaches a Christmas sermon, and the reports from this sermon was that he just was lifted into ecstasy over the tenderness and the poverty of the Christ child. And so his sermon, I wish we had a recording of it, but this is one of the high moments after he said, "Let it be done according to your will." And there was real manger, real hay, an ox and a donkey, a procession, a candlelight procession up to the cave where Mass was celebrated. And then the stories later that people were healed at the creche, animals were healed, there was people that had visions. And for Francis, it's his healing to be close to the total poverty of the Christ child in the manger. And later stories is they didn't do like we do and put a doll in the manger. I don't know if they had them, but he had a vision where he saw the Christ child in the manger. Now, years earlier, we always know that Francis never owned property, but someone loaned the order an entire mountain, and it's called Mount Verna, and the mountain is about 100 miles north of Assisi. And this is where now Francis went with his dearest friends. And the stories are that hundreds of birds welcomed them as they climbed Mount Laverna. And here Francis becomes lost in prayer. And Francis feels so close to Jesus, and this is been true most of his life, but now feels so close to Jesus that his desire, and this would be what we call a mystical experience, his desire is to feel the pain of the crucified Jesus. And this is the very famous story of the seraphim, the angel with six wings, that imprints the wounds of Jesus on his hands and on his feet and on his side. And the tendency for us who are modern people, you know, is to say, well, this was made up, but there are there's evidence too that this really happened, both from history and both from times when very, very in recent times, people that are deeply involved in mystery will form like a wound on their hand. So, but it shows how deeply, deeply Francis desired a mystical experience of being one with Jesus, as he had been one with the way of Jesus for all these years. Leaving Mount Laverna, Francis goes on his last preaching tour. He's very sick by now. Gastric disorder, pain from the stagnata, weak, a loss of blood, almost blind, and excruciating headaches. And in this terrible pain and weakness, he makes his last walk through the towns around Assisi. And this is where people line the road, and because of his weakness, they place him on a donkey. And here. He also terrible problem and pain with his eyes. And then he is brought from this to San Damiano. And this is where it all started. This was the church where he first saw the cross and heard the voice of Jesus from the cross saying, "Build my church," years before. And here he is cared for by Claire. And some have said never in the history of the Christian faith have two people been so spiritually one as Francis and Claire. Now at San Damiano, he composes a song to leave with the world. And it's a song that we sing today, which is a paraphrase in "All Creatures of Our God and King." And I'm now going to just a few minutes to tell how each stanza of the song became written. And then I'll say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and the one that has that stanza. And this song, I think I mentioned before, but this song marked the beginning of the modern Italian language. Back then, everybody spoke a folk language that no one had ever written down. And scholars, which would have included Francis, who went to school, spoke in Latin and wrote in Latin. And now, when he's ready to write his song, Francis calls the peasants to him, and he listens to the sounds, and then the sounds that they make when they are speaking, and then connects sounds to words, and by doing so creates a new language, and which is close to Latin, because that's what Francis also spoke. But and so this is a beautiful thing, and I heard that still in Italy today there's one day of the school year when all the children celebrate Francis birthing the Italian language. Is that fun?
Yes.
To hear? So now, let's see. Let's. He begins a song there San Damiano. He begins a song, and the brothers write it down, and he sings it over and over. And the more pain and the closer to death he comes, the more he sings his song. And I have the feeling that they're saying, "Oh no, here comes the song again." And it's the first five stanzas that he writes all together at the beginning. So if those who have it, and I wish we had the original music and had someone singing this to us, because he also made up the music. But we'll just go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Should we begin?
Mm-hmm.
Most High, all-powerful, good Lord, yours are the praises, the glory, the honor, and all blessing. To you alone, Most High, do they belong, and no one is worthy to mention your name.
Praise be you, my Lord, with all your creatures, especially Sir Brother Sun, who is the day and through whom you give us light. And he is beautiful and radiant with great splendor, and bears a likeness to you, Most High One.
Praise be you, my Lord, through Sister Moon and the stars. In heaven you formed them clear and precious and beautiful. Praise be you, my Lord, through Brother Wind, and through the air, cloudy and serene, and every kind of weather, through which you give sustenance to your creatures.
Praise be you, my Lord, through Sister Water, which is very useful and humble and precious and chaste. Praise be you, my Lord, through Brother Fire, through whom you light the night, and he is beautiful and playful and robust and strong.
Praise be you, my Lord, through our sister, Mother Earth, who sustains and governs us, and who produces varied fruits with colorful flowers and herbs.
Praise be you, my Lord, through those who gave pardon for your love and bear infirmity and tribulation. Blessed are those who endure in peace, for by you, Most High, they shall be crowned.
Praise be you, my Lord, through our sister bodily death, from whom no living man can escape. Woe to those who die in mortal sin. Blessed are those whom death will find in your most holy will, for the second death shall do them no harm. Praise and bless my Lord, and give him thanks, and serve him with great humility.
Now, France is in his weakness now. Report is that about all he does is sing his song, and just sings it over and over and over, and either the brothers were singing it with him, or maybe they were saying, oh no, here it comes again. But would he write any more? The bishop of Assisi and the mayor of Assisi were at odds with each other. And it became so intense that each one of them had an army. You know, some of us pastors wish a couple times we would have had an army to shape everybody up. No, I erased that. But the bishop had an army, and they're ready to go to war, extremely angry and misunderstandings. And Francis now has been moved to the bishop's palace because of his sickness and his weakness. And he calls them both to come to him. And then the brothers also come. And many, many of the city people crowd into this palace room where Francis is bedridden. And lo and behold, he sings another stanza to them. So you got last week. We had five. So
no, we did all seven.
We did all seven, yeah.
Oh, we did all seven? Okay. So let's go back to six. I was going to stop you after. Let's go back to six.
Praise be you, my Lord, through those who give pardon for your love and bear infirmity and tribulation. Blessed are those who endure in peace, for by you, Most High, they shall be crowned.
Yeah. The bishop and the mayor are so touched by this song about peacemaking and reconciliation. The story goes that they embraced one another and they forgave each other and both in tears. His condition worsens. He's taken to Siena for medical care. And he's terribly paining his eyes and going blind. And a primitive new idea for eye surgery was to put hot red irons into your eye sockets. And evidently someone decided this was supposed to help. And so now he has this excruciating wounds in both of his eyes. And then Elias now takes Francis to Porticula. This is where it all began, the brotherhood. And then near death, they take Francis to the bishop's palace. I got that background. He's already at the Bishop's Palace. But here they have an armed guard. Here they have an armed guard. And now it was very, very important close to death to protect the body of Assisi because it was a gold mine of wealth. If you know medieval piety, if anyone who could get a finger, you know, off of the body or one part of the body, this would be untold, untold riches. And we were in Italy a couple of years ago, and in one basilica saw the finger of a saint, you know, in one of the displays. So then he wants to die back on the where it all began at San Damiano. So they take him back, and he knows he is close to death. And so in his weakness, he sings the sixth verse.
Seventh.
Yeah. Okay. Is that the one about sister death?
Yeah.
Okay.
Seven.
Oh, there we go.
Praise be you, my Lord, through our sister bodily death, from whom no living man can escape. Woe to those who die in mortal sin. Blessed are those whom death will find in your most holy will, for the second death shall do them no harm. Praise and bless my Lord, and give him thanks, and serve him with great humility.
Just picture him in his weakness, singing, now welcoming sister death. Then a wonderful surprise, Jacoba comes from Rome, and she's a wealthy woman that was his dear, dear friend all of his life. And Jacoba comes, and guess what she brings? She brings the honey cakes with almonds
that he loved.
And always waited for the next time he would see Jacoba in Rome and could eat one of her pastries. So he gets to eat another one. And then then on the ground he is placed. He wants to be all his clothes to be taken off so that before he dies, he can be as close as he can get to his two lovers, his two ladies. One lady was Mother Earth, and the other, Sister Poverty. If you go back to the original medieval court, a knight always wanted to be gracious and to be with his lady. And now on the bare earth, he's ready to die with his two dearest lovers, Poverty and Mother Nature. And then as the brothers are singing Psalm 41, so read it sometime. This is the last psalm that was on there. Francis dies. All through the night, the brothers chant psalms. And then when Francis dies, Claire bathes him with her tears. And then he is carried then to the church in Assisi. His body, Giorgio, and then 4 years later, May 25th, 1230, his body is transferred to the crypt of the grandiose basilica being erected by Brother Elias, who never gets it. And then some quotes. Here's a place so unlike Francis, a generation after generation go to give thanks. For the friar minor, God's poor one. And this would be the final word about his life, was a desire to be like his Savior. And there's a resurrection of this in the church today, that we've talked so many years about getting members for the church, gaining members, growing members. And there's a change coming in saying discipleship instead of membership. To be like St. Francis in our situation, to not be a church member, but to be a follower, and to be like Jesus. And in our day, if there is any way, is that more and more people in the church would learn the surprise life of surprising by forgiving, surprising by nonviolence, surprising by doing what Christ would do rather than what is considered normal, to enter Francis' world of abnormality. And to that I say amen. So that's the life, and we have a few minutes if we just have some responses. I wanted, I was hoping for more time, but I was having too much fun. I'm sorry. So any final thoughts about
that?
Yeah.
You talked about the two orders, the original order, and then the one that Elias composes. Do they still have copies, I mean, of the original order, something you can read?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I probably missed your session, but did you mention about when he wrote the prayer, oh Master, let me grant that me, whatever, you know, the prayer of St. Francis, grant that we may be...
Oh, to be an instrument of your peace where there is...
Right, so what's the context for that if you
That prayer has been traced only back to the 1800s.
Okay.
But it's very much in the spirit of Francis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace.
Yeah.
Yeah. So keep it on your plaque. Don't take your plaques down.
Just cross it.
Yeah. It appeared in a newsletter of one of the Franciscan orders back in the 1800s. That's how far back. Yeah. Any other?
Dan, in terms of your being immersing yourself in this for some time, do you have a sense of how much of this Francis tradition is sort of tradition and mythology, and uh-huh. how much of it goes back to really what may have happened?
Yeah, there are probably stories, you know, of Francis that are, you know, like stories. But his life was so documented so early, you know, that we can be fairly sure that
the core is
very present.
Excuse me, I'm supposed to be recording.
Okay. Well, I promised, and it is now. We have one more.
This wonderful book here with the great illustrator talks about him having been born in the stable.
Francis, born in a stable.
That his mother wasn't able to have a delivery, and a stranger came and said he needs to be born in a stable, and that's where he went. So
my guess is this would be a
part of the
I
can draw a parallel between the Jesus birth story.
And he wasn't old enough to figure out how to be exactly like Jesus. So
when his parents were very well to do at the time.
Yeah, very, very well to do. So, yeah.
Oh. It's amazing the basilica that you mentioned here is huge in Assisi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say something to keep a promise, so just a thank you for sharing this story and blessings that we may be peacemakers. And I'm very sorry I sent a list of books to buy for the bookstore and it got lost in the mail. But this is one of the best, and if you run, there's one copy in the bookstore. But I'd be willing to stay another 10 minutes. Anybody wants to ask anything else or share anything?
You have the cards.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, this, I just learned about all of this stuff with the Sultan. And so Karen, in my Christmas letter this year, we sent a little card with it, picture I drew of Francis and the Sultan. So you can pass.
Dan, one of the things you told us, many stuff that I've never heard before, but one of the things you said, how when he was in such despair and he finally had his vision where God said to him, am I not the head of this order? And Francis found his peace. I can identify with that feeling. I know so often, I think those of us who work in our congregations, we get so concerned about, we got to do it right, and are they doing it right in my church? And I know I tend to forget that it's God's church, it's not mine. I'm not the one that's supposed to be running it. And that is very good to be reminded of that. This is God's church.
Thank you. If someone wants the original translation of the canticle, and those that read, you can.
That's it.
What?
The one that you read is.
Yeah, that's it. So just keep that. If anybody wants to stay and just share any more, I'm going to take 10 more minutes or so.
Thanks, Dan. So, yeah.